everyone. This is the Coca Chronicles podcast. With me, as always, is Schaefer. Without me, I guess, is that the way you say it? Not here today is Jared, but Jared is making his way through San Antonio. I think he went to go eat, like, at the Cheesecake Factory or something. He's just celebrating for the hell of it. Probably school refunds. You know how these kids do nowadays. This is our big blowout spectacular. And that means that we have Daryl from RowdyReport.com, and we have Jack of Bobcat Report fame, and now of, what's your blog called now, man?
Whackjack.blogspot.com.
All right. So, Jack, you wrote a season preview, and you put that out on the internet. Daryl, have you written a season preview yet, or are you gonna?
No, the blog's been pretty inactive for the past couple months. I haven't had a whole lot of time. But hopefully I'll get some updates soon in the next couple weeks.
Right, and we are working on ours. So I have it like on a pages file here, and I keep having to modify it. And like what's going to end up happening, it's going to be like the day of the game. I'm going to like post it, and it's going to be totally useless. But that's how these things work. So anyway, we got together. We're getting together, and we're going to do a big blowout show and talk all about football. Until we can't talk anymore. And I even have a beer ready. See? And I'm drinking.
The Coca Chronicles preseason blowout.
Yes.
Sorry, we need a little production value there. Sorry.
Yeah, because I don't have a board, so we just have Schaefer. I just point at him, and he just does the sound effects. Okay, guys, so big news. Big news of the week is that Eric Sosa is going to be the starting quarterback. Well, at least he's named the starting quarterback for the first game. Not necessarily for the second series of the first game, but you never know. So what's going to happen, guys? Is he our quarterback? Is that the deal? Daryl, let's start with you.
Yeah, I mean, from what I can tell, he's going to be our starter. Maybe if we get some garbage time, probably in the Commerce and Northwest Oklahoma State game, we can see how Carter does. But for now, I think it's going to be Sosa starting.
All right. Schaefer, what do you think about this move? Is it just kind of like, was it just to push him, you know? Was it just to kind of, you know, light a fire under him and get him ready for the season?
I think he was legit competition from everything you hear. So I think it really was an open competition. I don't think that, you know, obviously they want to try to keep that consistency of that leadership. But I think that they gave the guy a fair chance to try to take it from him. And it sounds like he stepped up and took charge.
All right, Jack, what do you think about this whole QB controversy? You've been watching it from afar or from a close. I don't know, however, wherever you've been watching it.
Well, my take on it is that I think that Sosa and Carter, they're going to probably wind up getting almost an equal amount of time anyway, considering the sheer range of games that I think UTSA is going to go through this year. I mean, I think that, you know, y'all might be on the end of, you know, some 35, 40 point blowouts as a victor, and then you might be down, you know, say to like Louisiana Tech or something like that, 40-0 at halftime. So I think everybody's going to get their chance to shine, but Sosa should be your starter.
And why is it? Well, go ahead.
I think he has an entire season in the system. He's got a leadership capability that, frankly, at Texas State he never showed, but he certainly had it in spades last year. And frankly, I mean, he came off of a fairly successful season. You don't see many transitionals go four or first year programs, excuse me, go 4-6 their first time out.
Tunis are gonna have to be there anyway, just because I think we're gonna have some lot of defensive linemen in the backfield this year.
Yeah. So, like, do you buy that, like, that thinking that, like, well, we want the most mobile guy because we're gonna get sacked anyway. We just want a guy that can like bounce back up and take the beating.
I do. Well, I do like the fact that Tucker Carter is a bigger, stronger guy, but you know that's not. That's not the only reason just to pull the guy just because of that.
No, I don't think so. All right, so he's going to be the starter going into next week's game. Do we want to do like a breakdown of South Alabama? Like, do we care about South Alabama so much that we need to break them down? It's going to be in Mobile, 6:30 p.m., Thursday night. Like, what are you more excited about, the game or like the watching party, Schaefer?
Well, I'm very excited about the watching party. It's going to be great out there at Freetail Brewing Company. We got everything set up. It's pretty much the only viewing party in town because everyone's so scared of doing the internet stream. But we've got to test it out pretty good, and we're going to be in good shape. And hope to see everybody out there and meet everybody that we talk to on the internet and people that actually listen to our podcast.
Yeah. How did you, like, no one robbed you and mugged you in the parking lot this time?
Yeah, so the backstory on that is we were looking at petticoats due to one of our followers, you know, setting something up with a guy over there, and we had all kinds of drama out there and hooking up to their system. That's the old champs. You know how the champs are. They're a really good setup, but the video system is, you know, it spreads through the whole restaurant, but it's got old technology in it. So we're trying to get the laptop on it, and then with the cabling that they told me about wasn't right. So when we went out there. And then I had a couple beers inside and found out that my car windshield got broken into and they took some stuff out of my car. So I was getting kind of on the bad end of petticoats, and then with all that, just said, fuck it. Let's go somewhere else where they're actually telling me that they have the proper input and all that. And so Scott over at Freetown, you know, he's actually a Texas State graduate. And I guess he got his master's at UTSA, but he's a professor at UTSA.
Right.
And he's a really cool guy, and we did some testing out there, and he's all excited about doing it.
It's cool, man. I'm excited. I don't think I'll be able to make it, though. That's a big announcement, because I have class that night. But I'm thinking, I don't know. I really wonder, like, really, guys, we're going to have class? Like, right, professor? Are we really going to do this right now? There's a game going on.
Because but UTSA is a football school, after all.
Yeah, man. You know? I mean, come on, now. At the very least, I will be in the back streaming that, you know. Via ESPN3. That's one of the coolest things about this new season, don't you think, Daryl? That we get to watch these games on, like, regular, you know, like, internet. You know what I mean? Like, ESPN3 is not as amazing as ESPN, but it's better than Rowdy Vision.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was kind of tired of getting those crappy streams from the other schools or not being able to watch at all. And sometimes paying $8 and then realizing we didn't have to. That one kind of sucked. But yeah, it'll be nice just and even be able to tell my family and friends, tune into ESPN3. I taught my parents how to use ESPN3.com this weekend, so it'll work out.
There's some games that are going to be on TV. Like Jared found that the New Mexico State game is going to be on some random sports network. I forget what it is. It's like an outdoor-type network or something. And it's on DirecTV, which, you know, a lot of places have the sports package, so we don't have to worry about all this crap of figuring out how to connect computers and how quality the internet is and all that. So that'll be nice when we can just do it the old-fashioned way like the big folks do.
Yeah, where you just turn the TV on and watch your team. Okay, so is there anything in particular that we want to say about South Alabama? Jack, Daryl?
You want to go first?
Well, the main thing is hopefully the hurricane doesn't hit Alabama next Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Suck.
Hey, so what do you think? Whose advantage would that be if it's a big, rainy, nasty game? Who do you think that favors?
I'll answer that one. It favors UTSA.
So their quarterback isn't all that impressive over there either. And I know they got a couple of decent runners. But would you think that would play in our part better?
I think it would because of the 4-2-5 defense. It emphasizes on speed. And if they're going to be bogged down and they're going to be trying to run the ball, I mean, all you have to do is stick an extra couple guys in the box the whole game. And, I mean, I don't really find them to be that big of a passing threat. So I think if it did wind up in the muck, UTSA would be at a decided advantage.
I think so also. I mean, like, I think we want to, or at least last year, we kind of had that personality. And we had, like, a lot of games where we just try to grind it out. I don't know Brown is going to try to throw out there what his philosophy is. I know he's going to keep a lot of the same sets and a lot of the same kind of looks. But, you know, that doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean? Like, calling a run play, calling a pass play are two different things. And especially the way you call them. Whatever you told your guys in practice, saying our bread and butter is running the ball, you know, versus, like, our bread and butter is throwing the ball. So when you call the run, when you call the pass, you're sending psychological signals to your guys. You know, when you say all fall practice – what we do is run the ball, and then you call a pass play in a crucial situation that, you know, could be either. You're sending some signals there. I don't know what the hell we're going to do. I don't know. And that's why these first games are kind of scary, these first college football games of the season. I really have no idea what to expect. I think it's going to be – like, last season they opened it up with 56,000 people, like, pushing them to a victory that they probably already were going to win. But, you know, it helped them win it in, like, a more spectacular fashion.
The thing about USA is, like, you know,
the UTSA is inexperienced, but we go in this thing. Well, you know, we have a lot of guys that got to play last year, and so, you know, we don't really lose one or two seniors or whatever. So all these guys are coming back. They know how to play together. But South Alabama is the same way. They're like on their third or fourth year, so they're pretty much bringing everybody back as well this year. So, and their guys are actually seniors and stuff. So
yeah. All right. So do we want to get into schedule prediction time? What do you guys think?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Let's do schedule prediction time. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first because I've been thinking about this for a while. In fact, I wrote a blog piece about it like a month ago in my way too early season prediction. This is how I break down the schedule. I break it down into different parts. So the first part will say the South Alabama, Georgia State. I say that UTSA should hopefully split these games. It might be a stretch, but I'm hoping that they'll split these games. And then the next ones are... well, we have the two games that we should win, right? So that's the Northwestern State Oklahoma game, Northwestern Oklahoma State game, and the Texas A&M Commerce, both at home. There's no excuse for losing those games. This isn't, you know, we're not in our first year anymore, and we're moving up fast. We can't be losing to teams like that. And then the next group, so I say we win both of those games, right? I say, and then the next we have the Texas State McNeese State. I call them the Southland schools. Even though Texas State is moving in the WAC with us, you know, they're still kind of a Southland school. And McNeese State might be just as good as Texas State, if not better. And those are both home games, and I'm saying that we'll probably split those. Louisiana Tech, Rice, those are both losses. And then New Mexico State, Idaho, there's a possibility, chance, not likely, but maybe. Those are some weaker FBS teams, but they are on the road. And then we have San Jose and Utah State at home, which, I don't know, I'm just assuming we're going to lose those. So that all that being said, my prediction is, this is what I'll say. 4 wins is an acceptable season. 5 wins is a good season. 6 is an exceptional season.
Okay. There you have it, Schaefer's predictions. Daryl, what do you got?
You know, I think I wrote about this on Rowdyville, so I can't really reference that now. But I think, realistically, we'll probably split the South Alabama and Georgia State games. But I'd like to think we've improved more than they have since last year. So even though we're on the road, I'm thinking we can get both those wins. So I think it's a very real possibility that we'll start out 4-0. And if that 4-0. Happens, yeah, I can see it. And if that happens, then I think we go into New Mexico, and we got the momentum going, 4 straight wins. We might even be able to pull an upset and
get 5 straight. Is that Jared online? That sounds like Jared's optimism.
Yeah, I know, right? He's like, well, dude, we're totally 65-0 all the games totally,
wait,
man.
Wait for the rest. So then after that, I think we lose 6 straight.
What?
Because even though we have the week off, I think we lose to Rice for sure. I don't know if we can beat San Jose or Utah State, even though they're at home. And then we'll probably lose to Louisiana Tech. So that's 4 straight losses. I think going into McNeese, we might even we might have had some gotten banged up a little bit in those past 4 games. We might lose that one to McNeese. Kind of thinking late in the season, our health might be an issue by then. Going up to Idaho, that it might be a winnable game, but we haven't had much success on the road. So especially going all the way out to Idaho, not too sure about that. And then Texas State is pretty much 50-50, but I'll go ahead and give us the edge since we're at home.
So that one's going to be a close one, like 63-0? Okay.
Yeah, something like that.
People are probably going to want to sleep on that McNeese game. Like, oh, it's FCS, but we haven't proven anything at the FCS level, you know? We lost to all those road games against FCS opponents, and, you know, the guys we beat were in AIA Division 7 and all that stuff. So, you know, just because it's McNeese State and they're not FBS, you know, don't sleep on that.
Yeah, and as much as I love Jared I mean, he's kind of a homer. And he was saying, like, oh, we did so well against Utah State. And if you look at the first half, and I think, all that is true, and very, very true, moral victories, they don't do anything for anybody. And especially a year and a half away. You don't want to carry those over. You want to let those moral victories motivate you to go hit the gym or something. I don't know, like, you a player, but you can't put those in the bank and try to use them as currency. Jack, I know you wrote about this, and I'm not looking at your preview right now, so what do you got, man?
Okay, well, for starters, South Alabama is going into their fourth season of play, and UTSA is going into their second. To me, that and it's all into the same leadership. They haven't lost any coaches, anything like that. So those kids, they've had 4 years worth of collegiate level strength training, conditioning, things like that. It's a roadie. It's in Mobile. It might be nasty outside. I don't think that they're going to win that one. I do think that they will beat Georgia State in Atlanta. I'm actually pretty sure of that. The recruiting classes are stronger. It seems like there's been better or greater gains in the weight room. UTSA has Texas to pull from. I mean, they're pulling from Georgia, which is a fairly populous state, but it's right in the middle of SEC country. I think that UTSA got much better recruits there. Last go round, and as long as they're willing to put their best players on the field, and it's not one of these things where this season doesn't mean anything, and you know we're going to redshirt everybody, I think that's a win. I think Commerce is a win. I think Northwestern Oklahoma State is a win. And then the schedule gods did y'all no favors. Mm-hmm. You had to go to the two weakest teams that you play in WAC play. You got to go on the road for both of them, which is Idaho and New Mexico State. I think if you would have gotten Idaho in the dome, you would have rattled them and you probably could have won. Same with New Mexico State. They're used to playing in front of 18,000-20,000 people. It would have been completely different. But they're both on the road. And while I think that the Roadrunners get a win in Atlanta, I don't think they're going to win at either of those. I don't think they'll win at Rice. I don't think they'll win at Louisiana Tech. I think San Jose and Utah State are too much for them. I do think that they'll beat McNeese. And I think that's just because of the increases in scholarships and depth and I don't know how much high-level recruiting Viator seemed to have done, although he did make a run at the Honey Badger.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah, that would have been real cool. That would have been worth me driving down there to go watch. But I think Texas State is going to be a lot tighter than the other side ever expected, but I think that y'all are going to wind up losing that one for a 4-8 record.
So 4-8 from you. Daryl, you said what? 6-6?
Probably five, maybe six wins, yeah.
Okay, 5-6 wins, and all the wins by 63 points. Yeah. Schaefer, what did you say again?
I'm somewhere between 4 and 5. Being the homer I am, I'm going to go with 5.
Okay. All right, let's see. Let's take a run through this schedule. South Alabama, all those road games, they're significantly tougher. I think we probably, despite the recruiting advantages and time in gym advantages, I think that one's probably a loss, mostly just because it's the opener and we don't do well on the road, you know? I will say that one's going to be a close game, but, you know, you never know. The first game of the season, anything could happen. They could be better, but, you know, they're still trying to work out some kinks. And, you know, UTSA might you know, get a lucky fumble or something like that. So that one's going to be close. A&M Commerce, that's a blowout win. At Georgia State, that's probably going to be a loss, only because even though we played them really close here in the Dome, I think they weren't ready. I think they kind of want some measure of revenge, like not so much like, oh, well, we only won, you know, like because they won. But they kind of want to win, you know, like the way they want to win. They're like, they're going to come over here and we're going to beat them like we should have beat them last season because they're small. At least that's probably the things that they're saying over there in Georgia State. Northwestern Oklahoma State, that's a win. And I think, from a public relations standpoint, the South Alabama loss is going to get some publicity. The Georgia State game, no one's probably going to see it, so no one's really going to talk about it except us. The A&M Commerce game, the Northwestern Oklahoma State game, those are good because those are likely to be blowouts or just good wins, like solid wins. And that's 2 weeks in September that people were talking about UTSA. Like, oh, you went to the game? They blow them out? Yeah. Did you get drunk? Yeah. Was it awesome? Yeah. You know, and so they're more likely to come. So that's what we want. Those are good that they're, like, you know, easy games. I don't necessarily want to get big names here because, you know, I don't want to put on a show for other schools to come in here and, like, look how we took care of UTSA. Why don't you guys come to a real school, you know, because that's what they'd be saying. At New Mexico State, at Rice, those are going to be fun. One of those is going to be fun, that road trip game, and that's probably going to be a loss, and we're probably going to get made fun of by the band. What's your band's name?
The Mob.
There you go. So, yeah, they're going to make fun of us. So if you are a noob to, like, Rice Football and Rice, their band, they're going to make fun of you guys. So just be prepared for it. Tough skin. Think of some good jokes. They're smart people over there at Rice, so you got to be kind of smart jokes. So, yeah, like New Mexico State, I know what you're saying. Like, you know, they're a weak team, and going over there and beating them might be tough. But that's probably a good thing. It's good to get some wins on the road, and if you're going to play a team on the road, maybe you want to play a crappy team on the road, because maybe. I think those are good. That's a good thing. I look at it from a positive perspective. San Jose State, Utah State, they're probably going to kick our ass here in the Dome. And that's fine. It's getting to October. I think October 20th, everybody might be watching the Texas-Oklahoma game. What is that, the 13th? Is it a couple weeks before?
That's the 13th, yeah.
Is it? Okay. Well, anyway, I think that could be easily forgotten, depending. Like, there's going to be a lot of college football stuff going on. There'll be fun games, but I think people will be distracted enough not to be like, oh, UTSA kind of sucks this year. Never mind, I don't want to go. That McNeese State game, that's going to be important. That's a winnable game. They're a good team, but I think the Dome offers a significant advantage. I think we're going to get a win there. At Idaho, again, that's going to be a tough game, but I think that's another road game that's possible, like a possible win there. That Texas State game, that's the big one. Everyone's going to be there, and it doesn't matter who's better or whatever. That one is one of those rivalry games. It already has that feeling here. Like, you can tell when two schools don't like each other, or like they're just so close and just like brothers. You know what I mean? They're basically brothers. It's gonna be tough. It's gonna be fun, and it really is a coin flip. But I'll just go ahead, since I do a UTSA podcast, as I look around here, and call it a win. So what is that? One win, two, three, four, five. Five wins for me. That's what I say.
Can I jump in here real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, jump in.
I actually think that Rice is more winnable for you guys than New Mexico State or Idaho is.
Think so? Mm.
Rice is bad. They're really bad. They have a lot of the same size and depth issues that UTSA does. They call it a multiple offense, but basically it's let's show up and see what happens kind of thing. And they face some of the same line depth issues. I mean, I'd go out on a limb and probably say that the linebackers in the secondary for UTSA are at least on par with them, if not higher. That's a very winnable game.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, they go out and play, UCLA, Kansas, Louisiana Tech, Marshall, Houston, and Memphis before they get to UTSA.
That's right.
I think it's going to toughen them up a little bit.
Or dang up half their squad.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think getting out there and playing teams that are better than you kind of prepare you for a team that's worse than you, maybe. Or maybe they overlook it. They're like, oh, well, this team ain't UCLA. You know what I mean? They don't got all these – they're not Pac-12 caliber here. So maybe. I don't know. I think maybe you have a point there. Anybody, what do you guys think about his Rice maybe a winnable game? Daryl?
Yeah, I definitely agree. A lot of it's because we play, you know, we don't play well on the road, but we've played well in games that are near UTSA, short drives. Yeah. So like Sam Houston last year, McNeese last year, those are games that we were in pretty much till the end of it.
Right.
So I think especially having our presence there, even though it's their centennial game, their homecoming, I think that'll help us a little bit too.
I think we're going to represent pretty good as far as fans go out there. You know, a lot of people are planning on making the trip. We'll see if they actually go or not.
Yeah. We'll see. I definitely think that it's going to be fun. That's my hot sports opinion. It's going to be fun to watch. I'm going to like looking at it. Okay, so that's schedule talk. We'll get Jared when he's done eating his Whataburger.
Hey, I gotta say this, you know. Showing love for a guy that was, you know, with the Bobcats for a while. I've been following Jack for a long time, you know, especially with all the WAC stuff was going on, all that realignment crap that I was obsessed with. Huh. Man, the guy comes off good on the podcast too, as well as on paper.
Yeah, you're multi-talented, dude.
Thanks, man. Anytime.
Let's see. Okay, so speaking of road trip plans, who's making that Rice trip? Or what games are you making? Is anybody going out to New Mexico State?
I was thinking about it, but then I found out it was going to be on DirecTV, and I said, okay, well, we'll just stay here.
Yeah. Daryl, you making any trips?
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. I'm for sure going to Rice, maybe Louisiana Tech, and probably not New Mexico State now that it's on TV, like Schaefer said.
Yeah, and I honestly, I expect there's a lot more traveling once we get in Conference USA and we start playing these teams that we're going to be consistent rivals with. You know, a Dallas or Houston trip's going to be a given every year, and then, you know, we'll have the El Paso thing and a couple schools in Louisiana. And maybe we'll stretch up to Tulsa sometime. I don't know if anyone wants to go to Oklahoma, but...
Yeah, you know, it's weird. Like I think anything east I'm more likely to go to than west. Like New Mexico, no, I'm not going out there. Idaho, no, I'm not going out there. I know Jared wanted to make the Kibby Dome. He wanted to do that. But, like, I don't know. I see no reason to go out west unless it's in California. What the hell?
There's a lot of schools that see no reason to go all the way to Moscow, Idaho. That's why they can't find a home right now.
Yeah. Anybody want to come play us? Hey, yeah, you know what? Jack, while we have you on here, why don't you... You got any words on the WAC that we are in, but we will soon be leaving?
Well, for starters, UTSA should be very, very excited with their Conference USA membership and that they are not stuck on the outside looking in like New Mexico State and Idaho are. Idaho will probably wind up in the Big Sky in 2 years. New Mexico State, on the other hand, I don't know how many of y'all know this or not, they have always been at whatever the upper echelon has been, like whether it's been Division One or FBS or anything like that. And that goes all the way back to the Border Conference days when they played with Arizona. I do not think that that they will give up on that program. I think it'll stay independent until somebody's ready to pick them up. It makes absolutely no sense for New Mexico State and UTEP not to be travel partners in something, considering they're about as far away from each other as Texas State and UTSA's campuses are.
Yeah, they're right near each other, yeah.
And I think somebody down the line is going to come to that conclusion, and whether UTEP winds up flipping to the Mountain West with them or if they get a Conference USA invite in a few years, I think one of those things will happen before they drop to FCS. I don't think they have any desire to drop to FCS. They've got some serious money. As far as donors go, I do not think they'll let that program, you know, drop a level.
Right. Do you think the Mountain West will eventually go to 12 teams, Jack?
Yes.
Isn't it kind of ridiculous that, like, it was, like, former WAC teams left to form the Mountain West, and part of the reason is because it got so big, like the WAC, and now they're going to expand the Mountain West again and get it real big? Well, they just can call that the WAC. It's basically what happened. It's ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. It's ridiculous. Okay, so... what am I saying here? Road trip plans. Like, so nobody was going to go to Atlanta? Hotlanta? Nobody wanted to do that? I thought about it briefly. I think Jared's thinking about it. He was trying to fly out there. Why not? Why not Georgia State in the Georgia Dome? No one?
I think it's pretty cool, but...
But what?
Yeah, well, I got to go to Boston in October, and yeah.
By the way, I drove past the Georgia State campus, which literally is a bunch of office buildings, about a month ago.
Really? It's like an office building? Like, you look, you see like a dentist office, and then it's like Georgia State University, and then like a nail salon, kind of? Or like
They own like two or three eight-story buildings.
Okay, cool. All right, well, so it's like a legit office.
It would be cool to see their giant dome. Compared to ours, especially, it sounds like their attendance after the first year kind of dropped significantly. Yeah, they had a really good first year, but then I think people maybe lost interest or started going to SEC games or something. So it would be kind of cool to see how theirs feels. You know, sometimes it feels, you know, empty with the ends or whatever, and I wonder how much more empty theirs feels. I think the Georgia Dome is bigger than the Alamo Dome, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. All right, so speaking of attendance and people not coming after the first year, let's have that conversation. Who's filling the dome, and how much of them will there be? Daryl, you have any thoughts on this? We averaged 35,000 last season.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it'll really help with our first two games. Hopefully there'll be blowouts. Hopefully get some of the students and more casual fans hyped up.
And then right after that, we have our homecoming against San Jose State, and then Utah State. And then, I mean, the only games, I guess we don't really have to be worried about Halloween this year, so that'll be good. Huh. Yeah, I think our attendance will probably be about the same as last year, considering the Texas State game will push it up pretty significantly.
So you think we're getting 56,000? I think we're going to get near packed to, like, maybe that 56,000 in that Texas State game. But I'm curious to know, I'm interested to find out, what do you think we're going to get in that A&M Commerce game? September 8th, 1 p.m., you know. That's after Labor Day, you know what I mean? I don't know. Go ahead. Jack?
I think you know, last year we kind of settled in on the 32,000 number. We had that one stupid Halloween game, which I don't know what those kids are doing, man, but they get fucked up out there at Halloween at UTSA. And, well, Jared knows what it was. I don't know. There was some stupid party they go to or whatever. But, you know, that was like the outlier going the other way. It was like, you know, 27-28 that game. And then obviously we had the 57-56. And the other ones were between like 31-34. And I think we'll be there. And I had said last year, or I had said something about, you know, usually with a new team, season tickets will drop the second year. Attendance will drop, but some tickets are going strong. Sounds like we've surpassed what we did last year, and I think the interest will still be there this year, especially with that Texas State game going all the way at the end. You know, usually by then the team that's not going to be doing as well, people will lose interest by the end of the season, and you know, the last game would be just crap. But obviously that one's going to be crazy, and I think the big question, we're talking about this at work today, will that Texas State game have more people than the first game had?
That's what I'm saying. I think there'll be a near sellout, man. I think that might get 65,000 people.
I think it has a legitimate chance to sell out because Texas State's going to come strong. But, you know, both teams, it's a very important game to both teams. I mean, and everybody knows it's, you know, the only time it's going to happen for years. Well, you know, there was that breaking news from Vinny Vanzetta that Coach Fran does want to play UTSA every year. This just
news
in.
At 11. Yeah.
So, yeah, but everybody knows.
I want to go to Sugars every night. They don't let me do that. I mean,
but, you know, everybody knows this is, you know, the one time for, you know, in the next 4 or 5 years. So it's kind of a big deal, even though it's a holiday weekend. And I'm pretty pessimistic about attendance. But I think that one really has a legitimate chance to actually be our first sellout.
What do you think, Jack? Sellout? Are you?
I think it'll come close. I would think that you would get about the same attendance numbers as you got last year if you look at the opener, and think that attendance is going to be around what the Texas State attendance is going to be, and then you look at the quality of opponents have gone up. You have Utah State and San Jose State coming. I mean, you also have Commerce and Northwest Oklahoma, but I mean, you know, overall you're going to have an improved schedule. I think a lot of people are going to respond to that. And don't underestimate McNeese. They travel pretty well.
That's true. That's true. Well, I mean, I think the thing to remember is that, like, although the diehard college football fan, like, recognizes, like, Rice, San Jose State, Utah State, La Tech, and can maybe rattle off one of their best players or something, how many San Antonians can do that? Or San Antonio metropolitan area? People know that Idaho is different than Idaho State, you know, and then different than, you know, like Utah State is different than Utah, or, you know, on and on.
In all honesty, I don't think anybody's going to give a shit once next year's schedule rolls around.
That's true. All right.
Hey, and so the other question about attendance that we talked about today was we're doing these over-unders. Oklahoma State in 2 years versus Texas State this year. Or I say 2 years, and next year, as opposed to Texas State. You know, Oklahoma State's a national program that, you know, finished, what, third in the polls last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a big deal. I mean, you talk about bringing big-time football. They might be down this year, rebuilding a little bit this year, but still, it's a big-name program, Big 12 program. And I mean, that's the one that's going to get them casual fans. You know, this Texas State UTSA is going to be a lot of impassioned fans from both sides. But Oklahoma State one's going to be that first real game that brings casual fans just to see a big-time program.
Well, I think it's going to bring a different kind of casual fan. I think the casual fan is willing to shell out $30, $40 for a ticket because that's what it's going to be like. That's what they're going to try to – Hold on. Breaking news, everyone. Jared's computer isn't booting up. Hold on. Still on. This is why I need editing time. All right, so, yeah, like I'm saying, it's it might bring a different kind of casual fan, like maybe, I don't know, then probably not the same people, but it's kind of like when, they're Spurs fans that will go to see them play, you know, the crappy team. Who's the crappy team right now? They'll see them play the Wizards. You know, you don't have to give them a four-pack, a family four-pack, to get them to go out there. And there are people that will only show up for the Lakers, the Bulls, the Heat, you know, that kind of team. And I think maybe you're going to get like the, oh, well, it's like real football here now, right? And they give a nudge and a wink and right and a chuckle because they went to UT or something like that. You know, they're like, oh, now we're going to go see Oklahoma State. So I'm not necessarily excited about it. I think it's good to have big-name teams in here to show that we can host big-name schools here. And I think once you get like Oklahoma State administration through here, big-time programs through San Antonio, they see the facilities, they see the fan support. That's how you get bowl games, and that's how you get like conference championship games, because they come see the facilities and see how we turn up. So that's what it's good for, I think. Daryl, Jack, you guys have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think that that if you look at your season ticket base and the student turnout that you had from last year, and you look at how it's applying to this year, I mean, you know, you're going to have that core group of, I don't know, plus or minus 20,000, right?
Right.
Okay. And then you're drawing from a city of, God, I'm a native, I should know this, what, 1.8 million?
Two?
Yeah, something like that.
2 million?
Yeah, it's 1.8 in this surrounding area or something like that, but yeah.
Yeah, you can certainly find another 10 to 15,000, you know, casual fans that will go to something like this. If you want a good example, look at when, you know, the Silver Stars or the Rampage or something like that, when they just give the tickets away. People show up.
That's true.
And this is football. This isn't hockey or women's basketball. Yeah, I mean, this is something people can get into. So I really don't see any attendance problems for UTSA.
Me either. Okay. So that's scheduled talk here on the Kelker Chronicles podcast. We are waiting on Jared. He should be here soon. He's figuring out his computer. I think he ate all his McDonald's already, so he's cleaned up. He's almost ready to go. Let's see. Okay, I hold in my hand the August 3rd depth chart. I think that's the one that we're all looking at here. Is there any reason to think that this is inaccurate? Or
I don't think that there has been too many changes.
Yeah, I think I heard IRS said that we had a defensive lineman leave the team or get suspended or something. I don't know if it would have been somebody on the two deep or not, but still, and
it never came out whose name that was, did it?
Yeah, I never heard.
And me either. Okay, so let's go through it quickly. I don't want to have a podcast where I'm just reading a list, but we will do that right now. On defense, Jason Neal, defensive end, Dominic Henderson, backup, Richard Burge, backing him up is Frankie Anaya, defensive tackle, Farrington McCone, Ashad Mabry is backing him up. The other defensive end, William Ritter, Jared Harris is backing him up. Do we have any problems with this right here? Or is that? I mean, these guys are going to rotate for you casual fan out there trying to sound smart. And he's like, well, see, guys, they're going to rotate. So you're going to see them, you know, moving around when somebody asks you why somebody's not starting. Are we good with this? What's going to happen? How do we feel about the defensive line this season? Just jump on in, anybody.
Yeah, I like the depth at defensive tackle. We have four guys that could be starting. I think that's going to be a good rotation. I'm a little surprised that Dan Winter didn't make the two deep at defensive end, that a guy like Dominic Henderson got in above him. I don't know what y'all think about that.
Anyone?
Y'all have a kid from Clear Springs High School in League City named Brendan Brinkman. I've seen some film of him. I'm really, really surprised he hasn't cracked your two deep.
See, I wonder how much the politics of making a two deep are, you know, they're a lot more they're a lot more complicated than just like, how good are you? You're good. Let me put you as the starter. Mm-hmm. A lot of these things, like, you know, you have seniors and you want to buy them in, want them to buy in, or you have some people with fragile egos and you don't want to break that. You don't want to shatter their, you know, shatter their psyche. So I've always found that, like, the initial depth chart, you're leaning more towards former starters or guys that are leaders or guys that have been in the program for a while. And that almost immediately changes second, third, fourth week of the season, because then you have hard evidence that they should or should not be there, or that other guys like Brandon Brinkman, like you said, you know, all that needs to happen is that Jason Neal needs to blow an assignment. I'm not saying he will. I'm just saying, for example, he blows an assignment, and this other guy who's been, like, you know, chomping at the bit in practice gets his shot next week. And they're like, hey, kid, you're the starter. And everybody's like, all right, okay, good. And, you know, it's part of the, you know, the vagaries of a team and the weirdness that goes on there.
Well, I agree with you. I think it's worth noting for everybody here on the podcast, though, that either someone between the first or third best player on the team is not there anymore.
Yeah. And yep. And that and may
I'm
be
referring
why.
To Marlon Smith, if any of you guys are trying to figure out what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, not anymore.
What happened there? Do y'all know?
Does anybody know the details? No. I think the person that would know would be Jared. And Jared is still cleaning off. His Whopper burger, I think, is what he said.
Jared probably knows, and he can't share.
Yeah, he's like, "Well,
he's got a Whopper now. He had McDonald's and Whataburger earlier. He just made a bunch of stops on the way there."
Yeah, he's a long man.
He's a young man. He's a large man. He's growing, you know.
He's like, "Man, I really worked up an appetite while eating that McDonald's. I probably should stop and get me something to eat." Or maybe he just likes to support local establishments. You don't know, man. You know, Jared's a, you know, he's a generous kind of guy. All right, so the linebackers, the Mike and then the Hawk. At Mike, we got Brandon Reeves, Andrew Douglas backing him up. At the Hawk, Stephen Kerfis, possible NFL prospect. I know I'm hyping that up. And then Cody Rogers backing him up. What do we think of this? Leading tackler, second, third leading tackler. I forget the stats from last season. This is pretty solid. I'm pretty excited about these guys. I think they're going to make some big plays. Stephen Kerfis, I'm excited to see him healthy again. I know he kind of came back towards the end, but thoughts, comments, concerns, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll go in first. I think Kerfis should probably be first team all whack next year. He's going to be the lone roadrunner that's first team all whack. He is that good. And yes, I do think he can play on Sundays.
That'd be awesome. I can just say for you Roadrunner fans, what is it like to have a guy not like Teddy Williams, like guy ran track? It is really awesome. It makes you start watching games. Like, I'm watching Cleveland Brown games in the preseason. I'm following Cleveland Brown stuff because linebacker Craig Robertson from UNT is out there and he's doing things. And like, you never think that you will be a Jaguars fan, but maybe you will be if Stephen Kerfis is out there, you know, doing the hard knocks kind of thing. Okay, at the safety spots, Mauricio Sanchez, Nick Johnston. I know I made that mistake last season, first game. Cody Berry and Sean Luchnik. They will be the Rovers. Thoughts, comments, concerns? Schaefer.
Excited for... Oh, sorry, I got lost here. Excited to see Johnston get on the field. Hopefully they'll split some time at that dog spot. He's our exciting kind of guy on defense.
Yeah, is he going to play some special teams, right? Does anybody know? Daryl, do you know?
I hope so.
Yeah, I haven't really heard, but he probably should. Tristan Wade also has been spectacular on special teams last year, so hopefully we'll see him out there again.
Yeah, Tristan Wade plays free safety, and Brian King is backing him up, by the way. Filling out the rest of the defensive back lineup, we have Darian Starling, who made some plays. He was really good last season, but then kind of he also made some bonehead plays, I thought. And then Crosby Adams backing him up, Eric Brown, Judson's own, and I think he gets a little bit more hype because he went to Fresno State for a while. And Maurice Pollard backing him up. Eric Brown likes to talk some mess. He was talking some mess to me on NCAA. He was like, hey, man, you know, you're going to get beat. But then he never wanted to play. I think it's probably because he was in camp. But that's no excuse, I say. All right, so is this defense going to be as vulnerable to the pass as they were last season?
I mean, it's all the same guys, right? But hopefully we're – I mean, we got outmanned by what, McMurray.
Yeah.
So the competition is going to be a lot tougher. Guys are going to be a lot faster out there. So, you know, I'm terrified of what's going to happen at Louisiana Tech game and what they're going to do to our cornerbacks and the whole defensive backs.
if you don't know, casual football fan out there, that McMurray team was helmed by, like, the father of the air raid, and La Tech is, like, a derivative of it, just with, like, now they're going to have better athletes. So that's a real concern there, and I think that's why, like, we're all kind of looking at that La Tech game, like, oh, man, oh, man. Jack, do you have some thoughts on that? What is that defense going to look like?
You're returning 10 of 11 starters.
It's always good.
Which is always good. I really think y'all need to find a way to get Ward in there somewhere. Charles Ward from New Braunfels.
Right.
Yep.
Eric Brown gives you kind of a leadership presence that you know, because you always need one of the hogs and one of the skill guys to kind of step up on defense. And I know that, you know, referring to Kerfus as a hog really isn't accurate, but I mean he kind of takes that role on. I think the leadership's there, the talent level. I mean, you're just, it's like I said, it's a different league. And whenever I was reading about the McMurray loss last year, one of the things that struck me about it was that was a senior laden roster. They had most of their players were, you know, able to drink legally at a bar. You can't really say that about UTSA's roster. So, I mean, it was almost, I mean, yeah, they had less in numbers, but they'd been coached in that system and everything like that for so long that, I mean, if you're putting a team together, that was on their first year on the field. So I think a lot of these guys, they're going to take this opportunity and they're going to shine with it. I like Barry. I like Brown, and I like Brandon Reeves. That's the guy from Guyer, right?
Brandon Reeves, is he the guy from Guyer? No. Yes.
No. That's Blake Terry. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Where's Brandon Reeves from? Does anybody know? Anybody remember? Just for shiggles.
He was from California.
Brandon Reeves is from California. There he's a transfer from some JUCO, but. I've seen Terry live a couple of times when he was in high school. He's really good. But, you know, maybe his role for right now, like I said, with somebody with a team returning 10 of 11 starters, I mean, maybe his role is, you know, special teams and support and that kind of thing. But, I mean, all in all, I don't know if you could ask for a better defense from this for a team entering their second year of play and having to go into the FBS subdivision. I mean, you have almost everybody back. You have a legitimate first team all WAC linebacker, and most of these guys played 10 games last year. I mean, you can't really, you know, argue much with the evidence on that. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I think if you look right on down the list, I think Cody Berry is the only starter that has no previous experience. It's all, yeah, like, well, Eric, well, no, Maurice Pollard, this is, he didn't play. Anyway, yeah, you're right, I totally agree. Let's move on to the offense. Starting at quarterback, controversially, quote-unquote, question mark, Eric Sosa, starting quarterback, backup, Tucker Carter, backup, Ryan Polite. We already covered this one, so we won't go into it more. Hey, I think it's important. What's up, man?
On that topic, though, you know, there was some kind of conversation going around about the possibility of redshirting Tucker Carter. Did you guys see that in the newspaper this morning?
I did see that. I saw that on the forum. I don't know. I think if this was NCAA, then you redshirt him because, you know, it's fine. I don't know. I mean, didn't he kind of come here to play? Didn't he come here to compete for the job? And so you want to keep him out there and get him some playing time? On the other hand, I don't know. What do you do, man?
I wouldn't do it because I think you're going to need a solid backup this year. And here we are talking about quarterback controversy, and then in another vein, we're talking about shutting the guy down for the year. Doesn't make much sense to me.
Well, I guess it makes sense because we have nobody coming behind him. That's the sucky part of having... Well, what do you guys think about this? Like, you redshirt, like, I don't know, like Eric Sosa and stick Carter out there. Let him play out the last two games. And you know what I mean?
Well, I don't oppose that. That's a great idea. You'd have proven leadership from two guys going into, you know, the CUSA part of your existence. I don't think that's a bad idea at all. But at the same time, I mean, if you're out to win games, Sosa needs to be out there. That's all there is to it.
I definitely agree. We also have more breaking news. Jared's PC died. He's installing Skype on his netbook, and he will be committing suicide shortly after. So, there's that there. Oh, it always sucks. Especially start of school year, your computer died. Oh, dude, totally sucks. Hopefully he backed it up. He didn't have, like, a Matt Honan-esque situation where you can't get to, like, the last year of stuff there.
I don't know. If I thought about what I had on my computer when I was 21 years old, I can't even imagine what kind of shit that machine lost.
Did they have computers in 1931? Yeah, one of those big ones.
My monitor took up the whole desk.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Like, the computers, like, really huge, and, like, the monitors were, like, really tiny. It's like, you know, like, the TVs were, like, the big shelf there, and then the TV, like, the actual screen was, like, 4 inches wide. Okay, like, yeah, I think that's the big thing going in. It's essential. It's one of the cool things. If you want to call them blessed, I know there's a lot of Christians down here in South Texas. UTSA is blessed to have two guys that have experience and that can play. And I think that was the crucial recruiting point. What's up, man?
I do hope that, you know, Eric Sosa does well and he holds on to the job, but I'm kind of salivating a little bit of having our first quarterback controversy. Just, you know, it's just a world of firsts, you know.
And you feel like you're real, like a real program now? You're like, yeah, we just need – and we already have people kicked off the team also, you know?
Yeah, we're pretty good at getting players, apparently.
It happens, dude. There's, like, what, like almost 100 guys on the team, you know? I think somebody somewhere said, like, you know, like, 1 in 5. Wait, if you look at any of those stats, like, 1 in 10 people is crazy. Well, you know, you got 100 guys, you got 10 crazy guys, you know what I mean? And you just got to shut them up, you know what I mean? Keep them in line, basically. Keep the crazy stuff to the locker room. Then no one will ever talk about it again. Okay, so tailback, David Glasgow is starting. Evan Zakacha, evil Evan Zakacha, is backing him up. And Brandon Armstrong is going to be the scat back, sort of. I like Brandon Armstrong coming out of the backfield, catching, being a third down back. I don't know. I mean, I like Glasgow, and he's a whole lot of fun. And he scored 5 touchdowns last season in, like, 2 games, basically, whatever it was. But Evan Zakacha was the workhorse, and he was the one that ended up getting things done. Like, we'll see this switched, won't we, Jack, Daryl?
I think they'll pretty much just be splitting carries all year. I don't know. It doesn't really matter to me who gets the official starting job.
Right. Well, who gets the bulk of the carries, though?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, answer that.
It's another one of these things that I looked at. You know, these guys might play hard. They might work hard in the weight room. But as far as just having that dynamic back that you need to compete at the FBS level, I mean, I'm really not sure if UTSA has him right now. I understand about Glasgow. That's the kid from Wagner, right?
Yeah, that's right.
He's pretty good, but I don't know if he's enough to, like, shoulder your entire load for the offense. And Akashka's he's the kid from up here. He played in the Big Sky somewhere. I can't think of where, but I don't know about, you know, wanting to hand everything off to him. I think what UTSA is going to wind up doing is something that a lot of schools at the lower levels of FBS wind up doing. And it's, I mean, you rotate in 5 or 6 backs the entire game.
I definitely agree. Give me 1 second. Yep. I'm taking a break to welcome Jared onto the program. Jared, welcome.
I'm in a state of disaster right now since my computer evidently fried itself to death while I was out.
It was missing you, man. That's all it was. Your computer committed suicide. So, yeah, like, we were talking about the running back situation, and Jack was just making a point that he's thinking that UTSA is going to rotate all of them. And I definitely think that's okay. I think this era of football in the last 10, 15 years has seen, like, the reduction of importance of the running back. There's not a running back usually. I think somebody threw out a stat, like, the top 10 running backs, like, they barely get over 1,000 yards in the NFL now. They're just not as important in the same ways. You don't need to give them 35 carries.
It's all about packaging your players together. So, yeah, obviously, the type of personnel you want to use with Okocha is different than what you'd want to use with Glasgow or Simpson.
Yeah, and so that's why I think it's awesome that you have Okocha who has some versatility to him. And I like Brandon Armstrong back there. I think he was awesome. Yeah. You know, on those, like, the flare routes and the little...
The change of pace.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, you never know how things are going to turn out. I think last year Okocha started out as our starting fullback, and we tried to go through Chris Johnson and Glasgow, and then Okocha kind of came out of nowhere to be the guy because freaking Chris Johnson couldn't be that superhero he was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Chris Johnson? Who's Chris Johnson?
Yeah, good question.
He didn't know which way to run. He would run backwards, and we're like, no, run the other way. Okay, so wide receiver. We have Cam Jones backing him up. I'm just going to list the three listings of wide receivers here because they're all kind of going to rotate. Cam Jones, Kenny Harrison, Josiah Monroe, Marcellus Mack, Brandon Freeman, Aaron Holmes, Kenny Bias are all listed on the two deep. I think obviously Cam Jones is our best receiver. Brandon Freeman is going to do some good things, and Kenny Harrison is also going to do some good things. He, I think, was he one of like the leading rushers last season or something like that? I can't remember my. Yeah, like because of those the option plays, right? So what do we think? What do we think about? I was gonna say, what do you think of our receiving corps, guys? Jared, we'll start with you since you haven't spoken on the show yet.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. I think it's the strength of the team for sure. They can go into five receiver sets and have a solid option. Not quite too deep all the way down, but for the most part, probably like 8 out of 10 guys they'd depend on. So it's good news for Sosa.
Jared, Jack, Daryl, just feel free to jump in. What do you guys think of our receiving core?
I'm really looking forward to seeing if Aaron Holmes can finally prove his worth out there. I think he was injured most of last year, but he'll be a good option considering Jones, Harrison, and Freeman are all under 6 feet tall. Oh, yeah. It'll be good to have that big 6'4" guy in there, especially in the red zone, getting some touchdowns, hopefully.
Yeah, and just like some long arms to reach out there and just catch those passes that otherwise couldn't be caught.
Yep.
I think the line, let's talk about the line. That's the most fragile piece of work that we have here. Patrick Hoog, left tackle, Scott Inskeep, left guard, Nate Leonard, center, Cody Harris, right guard, right tackle, Josh Walker, and we have Michael Robertson, Jamie Bernal, William Cavanaugh, Peyton Ryan, Zach Kessler, backing them up, respectively. Jared, you're big on the offensive line, and you once played offensive line. Played defensive line.
One day.
Yeah. what are your thoughts on this year's version of the O-line?
Oh, gosh. I think there's only 6 or 7 guys maybe that should be playing Division I football right now.
Yeah.
And we got like 12 guys on the line overall on the roster. So, there's not much depth there. I think the first six are really, really solid. And then, once the injuries start hitting, it's going to be lights out for whoever is at the quarterback spot. But I will say that we have a great offensive line coach. He really coached up the 5 freshman starters last year to be pretty solid towards the end of the year. So, maybe he can pull off a miracle this season. But brace yourself.
Daryl, you have any thoughts on the line?
One thing, like you kind of touched on, last year we started 5 freshmen, so you can't really do a whole lot worse than that. So definitely having 4 sophomores and a senior starting this year, that starting 5 will be significantly better. You're right that really Peyton Ryan's probably the only guy on the in the backups that really deserves to be there. But some of the younger guys like Kavanaugh and Hester hopefully will be able to step up if they need to. Also, what do y'all think about possibly moving a defensive lineman? Who do y'all think that might be?
I don't think that's actually going to happen. I think that was just kind of like throwing spaghetti against the wall, seeing if any of it would stick. I guess Dominique Henderson's really the only guy that has like the proper size to make that move. I guess maybe you could say Richard Burge, but Burge is so good at defensive tackle. I don't see why you would move him. So, I just can't think of any plausible scenario where it would work out.
Yeah.
I like the creativity, but...
Jack, do you have any thoughts on it from an outsider perspective?
I really like Harris and I really like Walker. I think those are 2 extremely solid linemen. I would kind of look, if you could, about bringing Alex Delgado, the freshman from Bernie. I would I'd like to see how he would do with this group. But unfortunately, it's like I was saying earlier. I mean, this is kind of what you get when you're in your second year of football. I mean, you're going to get a bunch of guys that are going to have to overachieve. They're going to have to, you know, play above their weights and handle some tasks that, I mean, they're just not physically suited for yet, especially when you're talking about a bunch of 18 and 19-year-old kids.
Yeah.
Schaefer, yeah, you got any thoughts? I've said this before, but there's a lot more random kids that you can find out in the middle of nowhere that run a 4.40. There's not many 6'3", 305-pound linemen that go unnoticed.
They can move their feet and, like...
Right, yeah. Yeah, like the Delgado kid, yeah, he's huge, but he definitely needs a red shirt. Like, he needs to lose weight. He can hardly move on the field. So, you know, you can stick him in and see what he does, but it's not going to be ideal.
I'd just like to point out right now that Schaefer is, like, dead, I think. Yeah, there he is. You got any thoughts on the offensive line, man?
Yeah, I'd like to see Patrick Hook step up. You know, this guy came over from Oklahoma State, big time program, and it seemed like he was having a little bit of trouble even breaking the starting lineup before we had people leave and not qualify and whatnot. So I'd like to see him step up as the only senior on the line and do something for us.
Yeah, I probably should have redshirted Mike Sanchez last year. That'd have been nice.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Could have had two seniors this year.
Okay, so let's move it on to I guess the last thing available is like tight end. Not a position that gets a whole lot of respect, although it probably should. We lost David Morgan. Jeremiah Moeller. Is it Moeller or Miller? I forget Moeller. my OE thing. Is that German? Isn't that Miller if it's German? I forget. And then Cole Hubbell. Jared, what are we thinking about these guys? What should we think?
I think Cole Hubbell is finally going to find his role on the team at tight end. Not the right size, not the right speed, but tight end's one of those spots where if you're big and athletic, you can find a way to make it work. And I think that's what's going to happen there. So, you know, I think he'll make a contribution. Moeller is a really good blocker, so you know he's going to be that guy on a heavy set, power set. And Jordan Gray is kind of a wild ball because the guy's a man child as far as like body goes, but I haven't really seen him play ball. His highlight tape has him playing quarterback, so you know, go figure. So kind of a mysterious position, but on the flip side, it's probably not one that's going to be used all too often.
Right.
Yeah, I'd love to see Cole Hubbell step up. You know, he came in as a quarterback from, you know, obviously, from Bandera. And, you know, they moved him around a couple times, defense, offense, all that. But, you know, when they recruited him, he was helping getting some other guys over here. So I'd like to see him get paid off and be able to do something from that position.
Jackie, any thoughts?
Jordan Gray is a Fort Worth kid. I've seen him play several times. I've seen him play quarterback. I've seen him play wide receiver. I've seen him play safety. And it's interesting that he's a tight end. He could certainly be a difference maker if he was used properly, but if not, they need to go switch him to defense.
Thoughts, everybody, on that?
Yeah, he's definitely one of those like rare big guy athletes. You know, like 6'3", 250, but not really a defined position.
Oh, he's smart as hell, too. I guess I should say that. He's a really, really smart kid. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't Trimble Tech like a vocational school? Like,
yeah, it is. But I think he graduated 7th in his class.
Wow.
Sweet.
And UTSA was his only offer.
Huh. Hmm. That's strange.
Fair.
Considering he played like all over 15. The place. A lot of times, like I can tell you this from the Rivals background, but a lot of times these guys that play out of position all the time, they can't get ranked properly.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you go in and you say, hey, we're recruiting you as a tight end, and you're like, well, I took 7 snaps at tight end in high school. You know, it's kind
of... Yeah. Okay, well, quick listen. We're already at an hour right now, and I don't want to make this the 4-hour extravaganza that it was last year, because nobody will make it through hour 4. Special teams, quickly. Shaniano is a field goal PAT specialist. He means he's the kicker. Kenny Harrison, Kenny Baez returning kicks. Brandon Armstrong returning punts. Christian Stern is punting the ball. Thoughts? Oh, Seth Grubb's holding. For all you holder fans out there.
Well, I think Carter will end up being the holder now.
This is true.
Right.
Definitely true. Thoughts on this? Do we care? I mean, we just I always look at the kicker. I'm like, look, that's a great kid. Just kick it into the end zone and make your field goals. You know what I mean? Does everybody else feel that way? Or do you?
I just hope that Josh Ward kid doesn't play this year so his dad doesn't bitch us out on our comment section.
Well, anymore. Just remember he was bitching you out. You were the one that was attacking his kid.
I spoke to the people. You know what I mean?
You know what? I think he probably went to your house and fried your computer. That's probably him.
Good theory.
Yeah. So that was interesting last year that Josh Ward's dad, he didn't take too kindly to Jared's thoughts on his son. That makes sense, I guess. Okay, so Jared, quickly, since you were not on here earlier when we were doing schedule talk, do you have your season predictions? Do you have the schedule in front of you?
Man, no, I don't have the schedule directly in front of me, but it's hard for me to give like a serious season prediction because I haven't seen very much of the team at all. There's been like zero coverage from practice and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's just been kind of like watching non-existent dev chart updates to try to figure out.
Well, yeah, man. That's the fun part. So yeah, okay. Well.
So it's just blind speculation at this point.
At the very least, yeah. Give the people your South Alabama prediction. By the way, are you going to be able to make the watching party on Thursday?
Yeah, I should be able to.
All right, cool. So
I'm inviting people to it. So I mean, hopefully it'll be there. That'd be weird, anyways.
You're just like, hey, you guys show up. I'm going to want you at home, though. All right, so South Alabama, Thursday, August 30th, in Mobile. Thoughts?
Man, I've gone back and forth on this one for a while. I do think that UTSA has improved more than South Alabama did last year. I mean, counter to what a lot of people said on their own season previews. I mean, just from the sheer fact that they lost guys and UTSA didn't, on top of the recruiting class that came in. But since it's on the road, it's going to be a tough one. I don't know if our guys are like really like getting motivated over the double overtime loss. Well, I guess it's just a single overtime for that game. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that one is our first loss. But they make up for it with an upset.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
You want me to just go through the whole schedule?
Yeah.
All right, Commerce, easy win. Not much to talk about there. Georgia State, I think that we will romp them on the road. I think they're going to be bad this year because they kind of went to a tailspin last year after that UTSA game. Northwestern Oklahoma State, yeah, win. New Mexico State, I think we'll win that one. First WAC road game. And also, I guess it would be our second road win since I got us beat it in Georgia State. Rice, that's a loss. San Jose State, close loss. Utah State loss, Louisiana Tech loss, Minnie State win, Idaho. Gosh, I've gone back and forth on this one a lot, but I think that the Blackman kid they got at quarterback is gonna be pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll throw an L on that one, and then miracle win against Texas State in the fourth quarter to end the season.
All right.
So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins.
6 wins for you. I think I had 5. Jack, how many did you say again?
I had 4.
4. Daryl, what did you say?
I had 5 or 6. I'll say 5.
5 wins for you. And by the way, Jared, I'll just have you know that he took your place as Super Homer, and he predicted 65-0 wins for all our wins.
Nice.
And like, oh, wait, I think he said a close one versus Texas State. 63-0, so... close game. Schaefer, what was your season prediction? Win total?
I got 4.5, but I'll lean towards the 5.
All right, cool. Controversial win on one of them. Is that what that means?
Yeah, we'll have a 16 overtime tie where there's like, fuck it, let's just walk off the field.
Yeah, they play like Parcheesi to settle the tie.
So, that'd be weird.
Penetrations.
San Jose State announced their starter at quarterback today. So I went and watched his highlight reel because he's a JUCO guy. Yeah. So I watched his sophomore season highlights, and man, he kind of sucked. I could see why he only had one offer.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was his highlight tape, and he was underthrowing half of his receivers, and then some. It looked like he just got lucky, kind of, you know, threw the ball up wherever. That'll be interesting. He does have some good receivers to throw to at San Jose. But...
Well, hopefully he underthrows him also this time.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. So, wrap up thought. Just random thoughts on the season, and then we'll wrap this up. I guess we'll start with Schaefer. You got any thoughts? First game, watching party.
I'm ready to rock, man. We're gonna have a good time Thursday night. So everybody come out and hopefully we'll be celebrating and not getting too upset. Either way, we're gonna have a good time though.
Hey, for the Commerce game and going forward, are you tailgating? Are we tailgating? Are people tailgating?
I will be tailgating just like every game last game. I will be tailgating. The question is, who's going to be with me? That's it.
Sweet. Daryl, you got any thoughts?
Yeah, just like you said, I'm excited for the season to start, ready to get it going. I should be able to make it out on Thursday too, so you'll be able to see me there. Yeah, just ready to get started.
Sweet. Jack, thanks for joining us, by the way.
Thanks a lot.
Final thoughts on the season going into the year? Thoughts on the WAC?
There is a kid that UTSA signed. I believe he is a walk-on. I don't think he had any scholarship offers. His name is Aaron Grubb. He played for Lavernia. Do y'all know who he is?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm from a coaching family, and I've been told that guy is lightning in a bottle. He can play about 8 positions.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a complete gamer. I think his brother actually plays for y'all, but he's a much better athlete than his brother is. Don't be surprised if you actually see him doing something this year.
Cool. Yeah, he's going to play this year as a walk-on. I agree with you.
Yeah, he's probably the best player Lavernia's ever had.
Hmm.
And I was told that is somebody definitely to keep an eye out for. And the other guy that I keep an eye out for is Wart. I don't think y'all can afford to redshirt him.
I think Wart might actually end up starting at some point, I think
you're right, too.
Yeah. Yeah, but I watched the Grub kid in the high school all-star game or whatever it's called, Texas High School Coaching Association all-star game.
Such an easy name to remember.
Yeah, he's one of the best receivers out there. He ran perfect routes. He was always looking at the ball. Always open. They didn't throw it to him very much, but I mean, I think that's a chemistry thing between the quarterback. But yeah, he runs a 4.4. He's like freakishly athletic. He's just kind of small, so he didn't get recruited very much. But yeah, he's definitely a
5'7" kid that can dunk.
Yeah, there you go.
Those dudes are always weird, man. You're like, oh, I can guard this guy, and then he just like jumps over you, like Vince Carter style, and you're like, what the hell? How come I didn't win the genetic lottery, man? I quit. I'm gonna go play FIFA. Yeah, so Jared, thoughts on the season going into it? What are you most excited about? What are you least excited about? You know, that kind of thing.
I'm just excited about watching the team grow and mature into a future Conference USA competitor. I think the cornerback position is going to be completely different than last year. I think it'll actually be a strength this year. Running back, I don't think it's going to be that much different. I don't think Okosha will win the Heisman. I don't know. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. I think I'm most excited about that Texas State game to end the season. I think no matter who you play, the first game of the season is always exciting. So I'm never really like, you know, I'm like, oh, we're not playing anybody to start, so it doesn't even matter. No, like, it's the first game of football. The new year starts. It feels like it's a fun time, and we're going to get to go downtown and do stuff. San Antonio gets to do it all over again, and everybody who didn't get a chance to do it the first time gets to do it the second time. I get to do it as a UTSA student for the first time, so that's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be kind of cool. I kind of wish that this was the Conference USA season already. I want to get this WAC season out of the way, but I'm excited for everything. I'm excited to see Stephen Kerfus, Nick Johnson. I'm excited to see Evans Okocha win the Heisman because I believe, I believe. I think it's going to be a fun season, and I'm excited to see what happens. I'm mostly excited that we get to watch it on ESPN3 to start it.
Yeah.
So I want to thank Jack for hopping on. You find him at, whackjack.blogspot.com. Okay, cool. And you're on Twitter at, what's your Twitter handle again, man?
At whackjack, WACJACK.
All right, so when I log onto your site, what can I find on there?
Right now, a bunch of bullshit, probably.
Yeah, those are my favorite sites.
Oh, actually, you know what? You guys might be interested. I was I was looking around some future conference opponents and stuff, and I found these two guys from South Alabama called Toga Man and Afro Man, and they're two super fans. And believe it or not, they're really funny. It's a big fat guy and like a little guy with like a Jufro.
Togaman and Afro Man, they're on Twitter. You
Togaman and Afro Man. Yeah, if you go to my website, that's the or my blog rather, that's the thing that is kind of immediately the first topic thing on there.
Okay, but I'm going there. I'm gonna put this as like the our link there on our website.
Yeah, I linked you guys. So, but
where are these people? Go ahead, keep going.
I think the biggest thing everybody needs to take out of this upcoming season is having fun, watching the roster mature, and getting ready for when something actually counts next year in 2013.
Cool. I think that's a good good thing to look forward to.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is this hurricane really going to hit Mobile? Is that a real thing?
The projections have it hitting hitting further west, but I don't know. I mean, I watched the whole Katrina thing, and I was like, oh, it'll never hit New Orleans. And
yeah, that would be interesting. That would be kind of anticlimactic. You know, like we're like all excited, and they're like, oh, game's canceled. No, because of hurricane, and then it'd just be weird and somber. Okay, Daryl, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at rowdyreport.com. Like I said, it's been kind of inactive recently. I'll hopefully get some stuff up pretty soon. Also on Twitter at rowdyreport or at Daryl EW for my personal one.
Sweet.
You can also find him on the Coker Chronicles message board.
Hey now, yeah. Hey now.
Boom.
So we are the Coker Chronicles podcast. And we have CokerChronicles.com. That's a blog. You can find me on the Twitters. I'm Aztecskin_CC. But I really mostly tweet from my personal account. But I tweet about soccer and stuff. And I know you anti-soccer people, you get real angry when you start yelling at me and stuff. So, you can find the blog at Coker Chronicles. You can find a nice beat writer-esque recruiting information from Jared. Jared, where can we find you on the Twitters and on the internet?
At @CC_Jared.
Sweet. And you find us on the forum, forum.cokerchronicles.com. We took over for the dearly departed rowdyville.net, which disappeared suddenly in the dark of the night one day. Schaefer, where can we find you on the internet?
You can get me at @SchaeferCC, and I'm pretty active at drunk tweeting also, so that can be either annoying or interesting.
This whole Twitter thing, huh?
Well, yeah, you know what? If you're ever just out and about in San Antonio and you're like, you know what, I just need something to do, and I just kind of want to talk some sports with, you know, some UTSA sports, just check Schaefer's Twitter feed, and he'll be like, oh, I'm out here at Rebar, you know, and Sosa should start. Sosa for Heisman, and then you go out there and you drink, and it'll be fun.
Hey, if you want to be tuned in to TSA stuff all the time, you need to follow us on Twitter. We've said this many times, but, I mean, there's always some kind of conversation going on with Twitter and the whole UTSA world. And follow Wagjack, too, because he's very entertaining on Twitter.
Yeah.
Thank you for the plug.
Yeah, that's going to be 1748 at the text. And we have the forum now, and we're doing that. Oh, yeah, big shout-out to Gonzo and SA, the show on ESPN 1250, The Zone. That's Wednesday nights, 9-11. They reached out to us, and they're like, hey, you guys, hop on the show. And I was on there last night for their 10-15 segment, their UTSA segment that I think we should call Runnergasm. Shout out to Bronco Highway, at Bronco Highway, you know, Jim Bob Brazil, for that, like, suggestion. Because he was like, oh, you guys are doing, like, a Runnergasm podcast. Like, that should be the name of that segment instead of Rowdy and SA. So we're maybe thinking about, they're like, they invited us to maybe do, like, a regular thing. So if you want to tune in Wednesday nights at 10 freaking p.m., turn on your radio and fight through the shitty signal and listen to the show. But yeah, shout out to those guys. They were really cool. And I know Jared likes their taste in music.
Yeah, I could refuse. That's badass.
Yeah, I don't know what happens at 12:50. I guess they turn the signal down after dark. It gets kind of choppy at night.
I was listening online.
Oh, yeah. Was that a lot better?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was crystal clear.
Yeah,
but it's always like that at night though, because whenever I tune at 1250 at night, it always gets all. I guess it's just
do show the power lower.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Gina, the woman, my wife, and the mastermind behind, you know, me is like she recorded it off her iPhone off the radio, and not the internet, and so like that's the like. Recording that we have on the forum. If you, in case you missed it, and you want to hear me repeat a lot of the things that I've said on this episode right now. You can. But shout out to those guys. Tune in, reciprocate the love. You know, listen to the show. And with that, I think we're done, guys. Is there any last minute?
Are we planning another podcast before Thursday, or is this the last one? Before
this is the last one before Thursday.
Itching slash celebration.
Yeah, this is it. So we're just going to show up. We're going to post our season preview, our written season preview. That will be up on the site. You can check out Whack Jack season preview. Daryl, you said you're not going to be able to get one in because you're busy taking over the world or something like that.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so that's it. That's it. Stay tuned. We'll see you guys at the watching party. Thanks for listening. Goodbye. Have your pet spayed or neutered and whatever. All
right. 7 days till football.
Yeah.